Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44, which you'll find on page 1054 in the Pew Bibles. Luke 19, 28 to 44. Jesus has just told the parable of the talents. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we remember on this day when Jesus was revealed as King, that he was received with joy by many. And so we pray that as we approach your word today, we would receive him anew in our hearts, that he would be King there, and that we will go forward as a people more committed to bringing our lives under his rule. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, a few years ago, the actor Colin Firth was making a TV movie not far from here in Old Kilpatrick. And during that time, he lived in Creighton Road in Mulgay. He shopped in Tesco's. He walked along various roads enjoying the scenery. And when other people become aware of this, especially, shall I say, the female population amongst us, they're really quite astonished. How could it be that a famous actor like him, Mr. Darcy no less, how could it be that he could live and move amongst us and no one really notice very much? But these things can happen. Very famous people, eminent people can be moving amongst us and they are unnoticed. And it was especially the case with our Lord Jesus himself. If eminent actors, politicians, and others can be unnoticed in a community, what must it be for the Son of God himself to come amongst a people, to enter into a community, and to be unnoticed? How is it possible that a sinless man can live and no one give him the honor that he is due? Certainly when Jesus came to Jerusalem for the last time in the first week of Holy Week, people would recognize him as a great preacher. And people would recognize him as a healer. And there would be others who would perhaps deign to recognize him as a would-be Messiah. But there were very few people willing or capable of understanding that this was the Son of God who was entering into Jerusalem. Someone once wrote, God once walked the streets of Jerusalem. The people nailed him to a cross and then went back to their work. Now, it might not have been as uncomplicated as that, but there's a grain of truth in that statement. God walked the streets of a city. The people nailed him to a cross and then went back to the duties which awaited them in the world. That was Jesus' experience. It didn't matter that on Palm Sunday he was creating quite a stir. It didn't matter that there was praise being offered to God by his noisy disciples on that day. Jesus still knew what was ahead, and it made him weep to think that this coming anguish of his, this coming suffering of his, was only adding another chapter of disgrace in the history of the people of Jerusalem. As Robin read to us earlier, even as the noisy praises were ringing in his ears, Jesus was weeping for the people of Jerusalem because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. Later on in the story, we will find Jesus once again remembering the history of Jerusalem and how the people turned against the messengers that God sent to them. It was a very heavy day for Jesus on that Palm Sunday. He was coming to the people that he loved. He was coming to the people that he would die for. But he knew what the outcome would be. God was coming to his people. And he was coming according to his plan. This was no random series of events that was happening on Palm Sunday or indeed in the rest of Holy Week. Sometimes people put a very sentimental spin on the story and say, what a terrible tragedy this is. This young man, this idealistic young man who only wanted the world to be a better place. And he's nailed to the cross. But we have to understand, friends, that this was all according to God's eternal plan. And it's reflected on what happened on that Palm Sunday, when Jesus sent his disciples on ahead to procure a colt on which he would ride into Jerusalem. And Jesus instructs them to say to the people who owns the colt, the Lord has need of this. And when you say that, they'll surrender the colt to you. And everything just clicked along. And Luke notes that it was all as Jesus had said that it would be. Everything was working out as he had told them. Now, if I was a disciple on that day, I suppose my feeling would be that things were out of my control completely. I was being swept along with some great overarching purpose. And that, in fact, was what was happening, friends. The will of God, the great and glorious will of God, was unfolding. Jesus was being revealed as the Messiah. It was all out there now. From this moment on, there would be no question of Jesus withdrawing to lonely places. The days for withdrawing to lonely places were over. He was going to be out there. And the days when Jesus said to people that he cured, "Now don't tell anyone about this," those days were over. And the days of Jesus avoiding certain areas in Judea where he was going to be particularly under threat, those days were over. And even more significantly, the days when Jesus recoiled before any suggestion that he was a king because of all the political implications of the word Messiah, those days were now over. Jesus knew what he was doing on Palm Sunday. He was coming to the people of Jerusalem as the king, according to the purpose of his heavenly Father. And ahead of him lay the death that he would die in order to secure the salvation of the whole of humankind. And the disciples are being caught up in the slipstream of all of this. They are being brought into this unfolding purpose. Whether they knew it or not, they were playing this very important role in God's story of the salvation of humankind. And friends, we have to understand on this Palm Sunday, 2014, we have to understand that we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are still standing in that purpose. That God's will for the whole of humankind is marching on. And that any man or woman who stands today and says that Jesus is the Lord of their life, they are standing firmly in that purpose. Along with brothers and sisters throughout the world, those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are being borne forward in the great plan that God has for the whole universe. You know, we sometimes cloud the picture, friends, by the way that we speak. You know, we talk about joining the church as if it were joining some other kind of organization or institution. But you know, in those very early days of the church's witness, in the days of Peter and James and John and the Apostle Paul, these people saw themselves as being part of a divine surge that was moving forward to the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And that's a vision that we need to recover in these days of challenge for the whole Christian community throughout the world. God came to Jerusalem in the person of Jesus, and he came according to his plan. God also came in Jesus, receiving his people's praise. We're told that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, those who were making most of the noise were his disciples. And we're told that they were praising God for all the miracles that they'd seen. whenever they had been in the company of Jesus, whenever they had shared the work with him. These men were excited by everything that they had experienced in the past and everything that they perceived was going to happen in the future. And look what they were saying. They're saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And as we heard earlier, Jesus was often very reluctant to take that title to himself. There was one occasion in John's Gospel when the people were coming to proclaim him King and he fled. He got right out of it. Because the hour had not come. But now the hour has come. Jesus is no longer reluctant. Jesus seems to be approving of what the disciples are saying. The Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, "Do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear what they're shouting about you being a king? Tell them to be quiet. This is going to cause trouble." And Jesus' response says, "You can't stop this. You can't stop this. I could tell them to be quiet. But you see these stones, they would cry out. Because things are moving along according to the purpose of God. The hour has come for Jesus. The kingdom is coming. The Savior has come. The ancient promises are now about to be fulfilled." Now, I don't believe that Jesus' disciples had grasped all of this. There was too much of an image of power and glory in their minds without facing up to the cost of all of this. And Jesus knew that. But what he was saying on this Palm Sunday was that the praise was appropriate. And the content of the praise was accurate. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And what we have to realize today, friends, and what we have to grasp, and we have a fuller picture than the disciples could ever have at this particular moment, we have to realize that the King is here with us. And that the kingdom has come through him. And that there is a great future for his people on this earth, because it is through his people that the new heaven and the new earth will be promoted until he finally establishes it. You know, there's one of the novels of Charles Dickens which begins with these words, "It was the best of times and it was the worst of times." Now we can be very, very quick to share why we think it's the worst of times. I mean, how long have you got? But too seldom do we realize, friends, that this is the best of times. The King has come. The kingdom has been established. The kingdom is going forward. You know, Donald MacLeod in his latest book says that we are living at a period in history where there is a reigning Christ, a bound devil, and an ever-present spirit. There is now a reigning Christ, a bound devil, and an ever-present spirit, which is the result of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a time, friends, when the power of sin and death has been broken. We are living in a period of history where the Holy Spirit of God can bring these realities to rest in the hearts of men and women. and by the grace of God, enable them to respond in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a period of history when the worst of circumstances can be transformed to the glory of God. And we're living in a period of history where we ourselves, individual men and women who have responded in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and received His Spirit, we can, through the application of His teaching in our lives and in every circumstance that we come up against in our lives, we're living in a time when we can show people what heaven is like here on earth. Jesus came receiving His people's praise. That is something that we can do every single day of our lives. The King has come. But we also have to take on board the fact that He also came making a tearful promise. I was spoken about this earlier. Even with the praises of His disciples ringing in His ears, He weeps for Jerusalem. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. Now, we do appreciate, as I was saying to the children earlier, we do appreciate so much the fact that our Lord, in His time amongst us, went over this huge gamut of human emotion. So we stand with Him when He weeps at the tomb of His friend. And we stand with Him when He has compassion on the leper. And we stand with Him when He rejoices at the renewal of life that He saw in people like Zacchaeus and in others. But you know, the only other occasion when we hear of Jesus weeping, apart from the loss of Lazarus, the only other time when we hear of Jesus weeping is when He considers how people resist God and resist His word. Later on, once again, He'll be overwhelmed with sorrow at the thought of how God sent His messengers to Jerusalem, sent His prophets to Jerusalem, and they were destroyed by the people. That moves our Lord's heart to deep sorrow. You don't recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's the problem with this city of Jerusalem. And it's the problem with ourselves today. We don't recognize the time of God's coming. God walked in the streets of Jerusalem, and what did they do to Him? What do we do to Him today when He comes to us in His fullness? This is really the point of Palm Sunday. It's the point of Holy Week generally. Who is this man who has to face up to the rejection of the religious establishment of his day? Who is this man who suffers betrayal at the hands of a friend? Who is this man who comes before an eminent politician of his day and receives condemnation? Who is this man that they nail to the cross? Jesus says, this is the time of God's coming to you. You know, there's an old hymn, and I'm very fond of it, although we don't sing it very often. But every verse in this hymn is a question. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? Who is he in deep distress, fasting in the wilderness? Lo, at midnight, who is he, praise in dark Gethsemane? Who is he in Calvary's throes, asks for blessings on his foes? And there's a chorus that comes in between every verse, and the chorus is always the same. It's an answer to these questions. 'Tis the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him. Crown him Lord of all. That's why we celebrate the coming of Jesus amongst us, because we are celebrating the coming of God to his people. And it's my prayer, friends, that each and every one of us on this particular day will be able to unite our hearts and our minds to that chorus. Who is he? We know who he is. And that's why we follow him. We recognize the time of God's coming and his promises for all those who will stand in his purpose and serve until the kingdom comes in completeness. Now let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would impress upon us the significance of this day, but also the significance of the one who is at the center, our Lord Jesus. Help us on this day of commitment to honor him as we should. For we pray it in his name. Amen.